morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I've got some final thoughts on the temple today and how we look at the New Testament and Old Testament together. And they give one vision for the future. I'm going to talk more about the future today and how we see the Old Testament and New Testament vision for the future come together. It's a beautiful picture. It shows the power of God's word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God says, So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And when you study Isaiah 55 and 56, the context in which this great verse about the power of God's word to accomplish all that it sets out to do, where we find that verse, we find a vision of a future temple. We find a vision of worship based in Jerusalem. We find that what God started with Israel is complete and accomplished in Christ, and we can't separate those promises. We can't throw out one set of them. God wants to see them come together beautifully. So I want to start off today with Mark chapter 1, and the very first thing the Bible says, or that Mark says that Jesus said, okay, so the Mark's very first quote from Jesus as he's explaining the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news." So what was Jesus' message all about? Well, Mark is explaining that Jesus' message was, the time has come. What time? The time promised by the prophets. And we've seen prophecy in Jeremiah. We're going to look at Isaiah today, that there's a coming time when the nations will come to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, and Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, will rule over the nations. There will be peace on the earth. Okay, Jesus is saying, you know, that time has come. And in a sense, if the Israelites had embraced Jesus as their king, believed, the time would have begun way back then in Jesus' lifetime, or the kingdom would have come in its fullness. Instead, the kingdom has come in part through the church, through those who are followers of Jesus. It is here in our hearts. It is here among us. But it hasn't come in the fullness that it will one day when Jesus returns. So Jesus is saying, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. So this message of where we're heading in history, centered around Christ coming as king, is good news, but it also means we need to repent. It's not just that, okay, everything's going to get better and better, and all of us can just go about our lives and wait for things to get better. We have to be ready. We have to set apart in our hearts Christ as Lord. We have to repent. Because one of the things the prophets say, well, Mark begins his gospel by quoting from Malachi 3:1, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." And Malachi 3:1 is a national call for repentance. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and it's talking here about the Messiah coming to set up the kingdom. And it goes on to say, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire." So this requires, this coming of the kingdom requires us individually to repent, to seek to follow God, to love his law, to delight in it. That's Jesus' message. By the way, one of the ways we do that, I believe, is by staying in his word, learning his word, studying it not just as individuals, but in a community. This is very much a call for the community to come together as God's people and worship God with one voice. And you do that, according to the Bible, in the context of the church. And so as every Friday, I'd urge you to make every effort to be at church this Sunday, because that's how God will bless you. Everything in church, there's some bumps. There are people who are not perfect, I'm one of them, that are at church, and you're going to see sin whenever you're in any group of people. But we see God's act of redemption among us sinful people. It's such an important part of your spiritual walk to be part of what God is doing through the church. So go to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church this Sunday. You're always welcome, if you don't have a church, to visit us at Fairfax First Baptist for our 11 o'clock service. I also preach at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray. Their 9 o'clock service. I'd love to meet you there. We'd love to have you. So let me now turn to Isaiah. What is the vision? Well, Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." All right, so this is a wonderful promise of good things to come. And God continues, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you." All right, so this is talking about this future time when this ruler who is a descendant of David, that's Jesus, will rule over the nations. There will be peace. There will be prosperity. There will be just this wonderful time in fulfillment of the promises God made to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in the Old Testament. So that's the context here, and this is when God says, "My word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire." And in that context, it says in Isaiah chapter 56 that the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. What's the house of prayer? That's the temple. That's where the nations, the foreigners, the Gentiles will come alongside the Israelites, the Jewish people, and pray at this house of prayer. It goes on, "Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." That's exactly what Jesus quotes when he clears the temple of the money changers. He says, this house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. And when you study Isaiah 55 and 56, this is a coming time, just as we believe Jesus will rule as king in the millennial kingdom over all the earth, so will the temple be established as a house of prayer. See, again, the sacrifices aren't about obtaining forgiveness of sins. The sacrifices are about a process of worship, drawing near to God on earth, and prayer. And so here we see that in this time when Jesus is ruling in Jerusalem over all the nations, there's peace, there's prosperity, God's word is accomplishing all that it promised. It's not only going to accomplish what was promised to David to have a descendant sit on the throne, it will accomplish what is promised to Levi and his descendants, that there will be priests serving in the temple, and even Gentiles will join in and be part of this beautiful worship and prayer that takes place at the temple. And so the temple still has this enduring role, even though it is not standing today, it will stand again. And you see this in Daniel chapter 9 as well. You see this in Ezekiel chapter 48. There's this description of the temple in the millennial kingdom. And it will be a way, not where we are forever perfected so that we can draw near to God in heaven, but it is a way where we can worship and pray to God in a special way on earth, centered in Jerusalem. And so what Jesus is preaching in Mark is, hey, the kingdom is near, repent, get ready. And that message continues to go down through the ages. Jesus says right after the kingdom of God is near, repent, he says, come follow me, to the first of his disciples. And that's his invitation to you today. Hey, join with me in this vision. God is going to accomplish this. It doesn't push Israel to the side. No, God will be faithful to Israel, but God invites you to join in. Jesus says, come follow me, the Messiah, the one who will set up this kingdom. You can enjoy the kingdom now as I will send my spirit into your hearts to be with you and guide you and give you freedom and joy and peace. And you can be part of the kingdom to come. You can draw near to God. You can know that you will be in God's presence forever and ever. That's this unified vision that Old Testament and New Testament are pointing us to. I hope you enjoy Christ as well. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.